Greetings, my name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. Welcome back to Shnayim Mikra, the wonderful program sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted at OU.org, in which we examine over the course of 7 podcasts different angles and nuances of this week's parasha, one podcast per aliyah. We're looking at Parshat Vayigash and looking at the 6th aliyah. Ve'et Yehuda shalach lefanav al Yosef. This is chapter 46, verse 28, Mem Vav, Pasuk Chav Chet. After we completed the reckoning and the list of all of the heads of families and that came down to Egypt, the famous list of 70 or 69 or 66, now we hear about the plans for settling in. Ve'et Yehuda shalach lefanav al Yosef lehorot lefanav Goshna. Now, the horot is a tricky word that shalach means shalach misha shalach, this Yaakov. Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead, lahorot lefanav Goshna, which would seem to mean to kind of find the direction and set things up in Goshen. Because of the word lahorot, Chazal pick up on it and say he sent Yehuda to set up a Beit Midrash that should be prepared there. Vayavohu arza Goshen. And they followed Yehuda there. Now, why particularly Yehuda? So you can look in Yehuda within the context of the family as the leader, which he turns out to be, as we'll find out in next week's parasha. Or you could look at Yehuda in the context of the one who stood up to Yosef, and that he's the one who now has, shall we say, a stronger relationship and perhaps even a stronger pull with Yosef because of his willingness to confront him. And so he was the one who Yaakov sent ahead to make sure that Yosef set things up properly for the family in Goshen. And now, Vayasor Yosef Merkavto, he got his chariot together, Vayal, he cried Yisrael Aviv Goshna. He went up to meet Yisrael, his father, in Goshen. Vayraila, Vayipol Atzavara, Vayifkat Savaravod. Now notice something interesting, is that Yosef does not come to Canaan. He doesn't even come on the way. He waits until Yaakov gets to Goshen, and then he comes to Goshen to meet him at his new home that Yosef has set up for him. And he falls on his shoulders. A very famous machloka between Rashi and Ramban, that Rashi says that it was Yosef who fell on the shoulders of Yaakov and wept on his shoulders. In the meantime, Yaakov was saying Shema Yisrael. The Ramban disagrees and says, that's the Rashi. The Ramban disagrees and says, no, it's the opposite, is that it was Yaakov who was weeping on Yosef's shoulders. That's the reference here. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef amuta apam. And now what does Yisrael say? He says, and this is part of why the Ramban says what he does, because if you look at the subject, Vayipol Tzavarav Veifkat Tzavarav Od, seems to be a reference to Yosef falling on Yaakov's shoulders, as Rashi said. But in the next pasuk, Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, Yisrael is the one who speaks up as if he's the one who's been acting most recently, the one who's been weeping. Amuta hapam. And indeed, his words seem to reflect somebody who's emotionally intensified. And he says, now I can die. Now that I've seen you alive, I know that I've seen your face, I know that you're alive, now I can die. And this reflects back into what we saw at the beginning of the parasha with Yehuda's words quoting Yaakov, that if Binyamin would not be alive, then he would die a terrible death. Yaakov would die a terrible death. And going back to Parshat Vayeshev, the end of Perek Lamed Zion, when Yaakov heard that saw the evidence of the coat and felt that Yosef had died, his feeling was he was going to die a bitter death. And now he's able to die a proper death because he sees Yosef alive, and of course Binyamin's alive, but that's not going to happen so quick. Yosef, by the way, understood that Yaakov didn't mean I'm going to die now, but just meant now when I die, I can die a peaceful death. And so he says to his entire family, Elev agida lefaro, I'm going to go tell Paro, va'omra elav achayu v'etavi asher b'eretz Kanan ba'u elai. And I'm going to tell him that my brothers and my father's family, right, and that from Canaan, they've all come to me. Now, this looks like a textual insertion in the middle of Yosef's words, v'anashim ro'ei tzon. By the way, these people are all shepherds. Why can't shemiknehayu? They were ranchers. They brought all of their livestock as Paro told them to. And so now the narrative picks up, the dialogue picks up, and Yosef says, when Paro asks you, what do you do for a living? V'amartem, you should say, Anshe Mignah, Yovadachem Nereinu Ata. We've always been ranchers or herders. Kamanachnu Gam Avoteinu, we and our parents, our ancestors. Bavur Teshvu Beretz Goshen. Why should you say that? So you'll be able to live in Goshen. Kitovat Mitzrayim Kol Ro Etzon. So evidently Goshen is some area where regular Egyptians don't hang out. And they're going to want to seclude you. Yes, you're VIPs. Yes, you're going to get great honor. But they're also not going to want to have you anywhere nearby because they feel that herders are some sort of an abomination. Either because they deal with the deities of Egypt and they domesticate them or they control them. For whatever reason, that is considered to be an abomination. And so therefore, once they find out that you're shepherds, they're going to have you live somewhere else. Now watch how this plays out. And we're going to go back to that key pasuk lamed bet, in the interjection. So now Yosef gives that exact report. Vinam Beretz Goshen. They're in Goshen with all their stuff. And so he took Mikzeachav from the edge of his brothers, meaning the extremes of his brothers. He took five men. Now, which five are they? So there's machloket between the Rishonim, whether these are the five weakest brothers, or whether the five strongest brothers. Who did he bring to Paro? That's again the Pharaoh. He introduced them to Pharaoh. Vayom Paro alachav, mama sechem. So Paro said, what do you do? Vamru mal Paro, ro'et son abadacha gamanachu gamotenu. We've been shepherds. Our ancestors are shepherds. Vamru Paro lagur ba'aretz banu. And we've come to sojourn here. In other words, we are all about shepherding. And therefore, since there is no grass available in Eretz Canaan to graze, we've come here. In other words, shepherding is what drives us. We're not just shepherds by vocation. We're shepherds by nature. So please let us live in Goshen, which is evidently a good grazing land. So there's a formal declaration. Your father and your brothers have come to you. Eretz Mitzrayim fanechahi, you get the whole land. Meitav haaretz hoshevet avicha v'tachecha, have them live in the best part of the land, which is Yeshvu be'eretz Goshen v'miyadat v'meish pa manchichayah. By the way, if any of them are valorous people, sometimes sorry miknala surely, and so then put them in charge of the cattle that I own. In other words, they're already herders, and if they are also strong people and people of valor, then put them in charge of that. Okay, so now before we get to the end of this Aliyah, which is the scene of Yaakov meeting Paro, and the very strange dialogue, we have to take a look back and see what's really going on in this paragraph. Is Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vanashim Ro'et Son, is this part of a narrative interjection? Is this a narrative interjection which is telling us, by the way, these people really are herders, they brought all of their stuff, or is it part of Yosef's words to them? And the reason that I would argue that it's part of Yosef's words to them is because, first of all, some of what happens here is just not true. It is not true that their ancestors were herders. Yaakov worked as a shepherd for Laban, but that's not what he did when he was on his own. Avram was not a shepherd at any point in his life that we read about, and neither was Yitzchak. Oh, they were wealthy men, so they owned flocks, and they had shepherds like they had anybody else running any part of their estate. But they themselves were not shepherds at any point. The only one that was Yaakov, and that was when he was working for Lavan for those years in Haran. So I'd like perhaps to go back and read Pasuk Lamed Bet a little bit differently. Pasuk Lamed Aleph is the beginning of Yosef's words to his brothers. And that piece ends at the end of the chapter. And I believe the entire thing is Yosef's speech. I'm going to go tell Paro that you've come, and I'm going to also say to him that you are shepherds, and that you brought all your stuff. And then when Paro comes and asks you, what do? Corroborate it and say, we are Anshei Mikneh, we and our ancestors, and I'm telling you why you should do this, because I want you to be able to live in Goshen. Now, what is Yosef's reason for having them live in Goshen? There's one of two possible reasons. One, shall we say, more, they're both pragmatic, but one, shall we say, financial and one spiritual. The one that's what we call more mundane would be simply this. Eretz Goshen evidently is a beautiful area, and it's an area that's very lush. And Yosef wants to make sure that the brothers will live there and will be able to live there kind of alone. And so therefore, by saying we do this thing for a living, which you all find despicable, we'll need to live in Goshen, but we'll also need to live in a part of Goshen that nobody else is living because they don't want to hang around with us. There is yet another possibility, which would indicate a great bit of foresight on Yosef's part. And that is an awareness that our family and our tribe have a particular and unique mission, and we're coming into a land which, as we have already seen when Avram came to Mitzrayim, has core values that are at odds with the mission that we're trying to preach and to present. And as such, it's going to be far more advantageous to us in the long run if we are always seen as foreigners, always seen as the other, and always seen as separate and worthy of segregation. And therefore Yosef says, here's what you tell Paro. You tell Paro that you're shepherds, you've always been shepherds, it's in your blood, you've only come here because of the grazing, etc. He will realize you are just absolutely foreign stock, he'll respect you because you're my family, you're wealthy, you're powerful, but he's going to distance you and keep you away from everybody else. And you will constantly be sensed and felt within Egypt as different and as foreign, and that will keep assimilation as relatively impossible, at least unlikely. And perhaps that was Yosef's goal in having this entire setup, and for at least a couple generations it seemed to work. What happens later on is a diyun in Sefer Shmot. Anybody interested in reading about it, take a look at Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin in Sefer Shmot and look at the Sforno's comments there. Very, very telling. Okay, back to the end of our Aliyah, Pasuk Zayin, Vayave Yosef et Yaakov Aviv Vayamadeo Lifnei Faro. So Yosef brought his father Yaakov, and he stood him up before Paro, meaning he presented him. Vayvarach Yaakov et Paro, and Yaakov blessed him. What kind of blessing? Peace to you, the king, whatever it may be. Remember Paro Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayacha. So Paro asked Yaakov a very bizarre question. The first thing he asked him is, how old are you? But evidently Yaakov is a very, very old man. He's asking him how old he is. I heard once a beautiful, very cute idea, more cute than beautiful, but very interesting little idea, which is that Paro had constructed, this is taken as a leaf taken from the pages of Greek history, but that Paro had constructed a throne room with a very short entrance, so that anybody coming in would have to bow down. And he had an idol next to him, so that anybody coming in would be bowing down to an idol. But when Avraham came to visit Paro, he walked in erect, and the opening widened so that he could walk in. And now, a long time later, over 100 years later, this old man walks in, and the same thing happened. And Paro looked at him and said, how old are you? As if to say, this is the same man. Of course, that presumes many things, including that Paro is the same Paro, which he's not. But nonetheless, it's a cute idea. In any case, he asks him how old he is. What's Yaakov's response? Notice, not chayai. How long have I been wandering? I've been wandering my entire life, and that's 130 years. And then he says, my life is short, and not good. And nowhere close to the length of my ancestors, my parent, my father, my grandfather's life, while they were wandering. And then Vayivarech Yaakov et Paro, he gave him another bracha, Vayitzev lefei Faro, and he left him. And what we're going to take a look at in the final podcast on Parshat Vayigash is the economic policy which Yosef instituted in Mitzrayim in the latter years of the famine, and the possible impact that that had, believe it or not, on later Jewish history. But we'll leave that for the final podcast. In the meantime, I wish everybody a wonderful day.